Good to see everyone this morning. Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers out there this morning. And that will be the focus of our lesson this morning. Faithful fathers build families and churches. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Such a tremendously important verse in thinking about the role fathers have in the family and in the Lord's church as well. Fathers have a God-given role to build the family, and the family is the foundation of the church. Paul describes it here in Ephesians 6 and verse 4 as bringing up or training, nurturing, admonishing. All of these words are very rich in meaning to indicate the role the father plays in the family. Many different studies that have been presented over the years demonstrate very clearly that fathers play a significant role in the family, and that their presence in the family is vital and important to the growth of the family, and that their presence in the Lord's church is vitally important to the ongoing nature of the Lord's church as well, and the faithfulness of their families in the Lord's church. Unfortunately, today in our society, there is a lot of rebellion against God's plan to have fathers lead the family, and for there to be male leadership in the church and in other areas of life in general. And the result of this is that we see many, many broken families today, families that do not have fathers, families where there is no male influence. Our fathers need to stand up against this anti-father culture and say no, and live for God instead of bowing to the pressures of society. With those things in mind, this morning I would like for us to think about what it means for faithful fathers to build families and to build the church. There are three key things that come to mind when we think about fathers, families, and the church. Number one, faithful fathers build families and churches by being faithful to the Lord. Secondly, they build families and churches by being faithful to their wives. And finally, they build families and churches by being faithful to their children. Let's think about these three points this morning. What does it mean for a father to be faithful to the Lord? Well, first of all, it means that he must have an obvious relationship with God. When we think about a father living for the Lord, we think about one who is going to exemplify the Lord's virtues. In Galatians 5 and verse 6, Paul really emphasizes sort of the crux of the matter of being faithful to the Lord when he says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." And I believe that that is the heart of the father's role in the family. Faith working through love. A father's work is just that. It is a tremendous amount of work. A lot of fathers want to sit back and let others lead the family, or let their wives lead the family, or even let the children lead the family. So many different philosophies prevail today in the culture as to how that should be done. Fathers have a divine obligation then to listen to the Word of God and to do God's Word within their life, to not sit back and let others work and to do the job of the father, but themselves to step up, to be doers of the word. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. James 1:23-25. When we think about fathers, we think about those who are to work for the family, to support the family, provide for the family, as we're going to talk about momentarily, to work for the church, to support the church, to provide for the church, to work for their relationship with their wives and their children. A father's work is work. When a father is faithful to the Lord, then all will see his faith. His wife, his children, his relatives, his friends, his co-workers, they will see by his works who he is, not just by his words. We don't want fathers who are just going around and talking a good game, so to speak, but rather those who are actually living the life. When we have a good father, he is going to talk to others about God, about Christ, about the Bible. He is going to speak to his wife about these things. He's going to speak to his children about these things, his neighbors, his co-workers, his relatives. He is going to back up his speech with a pure life, a life that is holy. And all who know him will look at him and will say, there goes a man of God. There goes one who is living for God, who is the kind of father that we all ought to be. But then secondly, as we think about fathers being faithful to the Lord, they must have an obvious relationship with God, but then they must also prioritize spirituality, which means putting God and His kingdom first. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. A father is going to be concerned about providing for his family, for his wife, for his children. And that means that in many ways he is going to worry about where these necessities come from. But if he is a spiritual man and he is putting God and the kingdom first, then he will rely upon the great promise that Jesus made when he said to put him, his word, his kingdom first. And that he would take care of all these other things. Good fathers understand that. And while they do work and provide for their families, they also know where these things come from. They come from the Lord's goodness. These fathers, in thinking about providing for their families, providing for others, helping the church, are going to put others' needs before their own. They're going to exemplify Philippians chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Fathers who prioritize the kingdom will put self last, their wives and their children ahead of themselves, and God first within their life. These fathers are not going to schedule conflicts with activities of the church. They're going to recognize the priority of the church, and they will prioritize God and His will. Fathers who are putting the Lord first will also set a spiritual agenda for the family. Now that doesn't mean that there can't be any other activities within their life other than church related. That's not what I'm talking about. But everything that a father does, as we've talked about in a series of lessons when we've talked about family and faithfulness, everything that a father does will be related to the spiritual. in some way. Fathers will lead family prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. They will talk about the Bible with their children and their families, about the Scriptures, studying to show themselves approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. And they will involve themselves in spiritual events, and the family will come along with them to these spiritual events. Fathers are the leaders of the family, and in so doing, will provide for spiritual needs. But fathers must set this agenda. They understand that attending worship services regularly is not something that may or may not be done, but rather, in keeping with Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, they will not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That spiritual agenda centers around the weekly meetings of the Lord's church, and it just grows from that point. Fathers will understand that, and they will make those meetings the priority, and they will make the other events of the church a priority within their lives, and this will be the preponderance of their actions in relationship to the church. A spiritual agenda. Faithful fathers will also be involved in various church activities, such as potlucks, youth devotionals, funerals, and even celebrations of some sort. Faithful fathers may involve themselves in leading in worship, such as leading in singing or teaching class or preaching even occasionally, serving on the Lord's table or leading prayer. Being involved in the worship of the Lord's church is a great way for fathers to show their children that they love the church, that they love God, and that they want to serve. Fathers may also serve as a deacon or perhaps as an elder in the Lord's church and further undergird that spiritual leadership and that spiritual mindset that the family so desperately needs today. And so as we think about faithful fathers building families and churches, we recognize firstly that faithful fathers will be faithful to the Lord. But then secondly, we see that faithful fathers build families and churches by being faithful to their wives. Fathers, as husbands, must love their wives. This relationship, the relationship of the husband and the wife, is the prime relationship for the Christian father. That is the one relationship to which the children will respond. They will see that relationship, and that then will become a pattern for how they develop relationship with others in their lives as well. Members of the church will see that relationship, and they will understand whether or not a man is spiritual or not based upon his relationship with his wife. The Bible teaches very clearly in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 25 through 29, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Fathers, as husbands, must love their wives. But then fathers as husbands must also lead their wives. The word husband has connotations of agricultural growth. A husbandman is someone who tends a vineyard who encourages growth in the vineyard. Fathers, as husbands, are responsible for the spiritual growth of their wives. And they need to be involved in their wives' lives to encourage that spiritual growth. So many times in society today, it is the wife who leads the husband in spiritual matters. But that is not God's way. God's way is for the husband to lead the wife. The rest of Ephesians 5 verses 30 through 33 says this, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Think about the relationship of Christ to the church and the husband to the wife. Does the church lead Christ, or does Christ lead the church? Does the church teach Christ, or does Christ teach the church? Is the church responsible for the spiritual growth of Christ, or is Christ responsible for the spiritual growth of the church? When we think about these things, we will understand well the relationship and the role of the husband in regard to the wife. Husbands must love their wives. Husbands must lead their wives. And husbands must laud their wives. Husbands need to speak well of their wives. As Paul said, they are one flesh. To speak poorly of one's wife is to speak poorly of oneself. And talking poorly about one's wife reflects on the husband's ability to lead. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Colossians 3 and verse 9. Faithful fathers, build families and churches by being faithful to their wives. But then finally this morning, faithful fathers build families and churches by being faithful to their children. Fathers have a responsibility to rear their children. My father-in-law always corrects me when I talk about raising my children. He says, "Son, you raise cattle, you rear children." So I try to use that word instead of the other one. There is a difference, right, between raising something and rearing a child. Rearing a child means taking responsibility for that child. It means providing for the needs of the child, not only for physical needs. We provide for the physical needs of cattle and livestock and other things like that. But we don't rear cattle. We raise cattle. We rear children. Because there is more involved in that than there is in raising cattle. A good father is going to see his children and their needs and provide for them, whatever they might be, whether it is physical needs or whether it's spiritual needs or emotional needs. He is going to look to all of those areas and provide. Well, I don't know if I care whether or not a cow feels good about the hay that I'm giving him or not. He keeps eating it, so I guess he does. But we don't bring in a psychologist to find out whether or not he is. But we care about our children more than that. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8 says, "If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." What a tremendous responsibility then it is upon fathers to provide for their own households. Fathers must rear their children, and fathers must train their children. This means teaching them how to do well in life, how to live, how to regard the world, and how to obey God. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22 and verse 16. We think about this verse, a lot of times we think about the idea of spiritual matters. Certainly that is the case, but I believe this verse also refers to physical matters as well, not just spiritual. Training up a child involves and includes not only teaching spiritually, but educating a child on how to get along with the world, giving him skills that he needs in order to grow and to develop. And Ephesians 6 and verse 4 talks to fathers specifically, not to provoke their children to wrath, that is to so push them to a point beyond that they can handle, where they become discouraged and angry and resentful, but rather to gently nourish and guide and train. The idea of training includes instruction that is going to help, instruction that's going to encourage, instruction that's going to build up, and admonishing. Admonishing means correcting. It means understanding when to help a child, to correct a child in such a way so that he learns instead of becomes discouraged. Fathers must train their children. And fathers must admonish their children. And this goes into the area of correcting, when children need to make changes. Sometimes physical correction is necessary, especially in some of the youngest children who have rebellious streaks that need to be corrected in a way that they will remember. Proverbs 23 and verse 13 says, "Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die." Rod in that particular day and time was something akin to a switch, right? A switch that was used then to appropriately discipline a child. Appropriate discipline will remember that the discipline is not there to harm the child in a serious physical way, but to remind the child through pain that they need to change their behavior. And that is something that must be done sometimes. We'll not say all the time. Too much discipline will damage a child. Too much physical discipline, I should say, will damage a child. Not enough physical discipline will spoil a child. A father needs to have some wisdom in this regard. The rod and rebuke gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Faithful fathers will be faithful to their children by rearing their children, training their children, and correctly admonishing their children. Faithful fathers build faithful families and faithful churches. How can a father be faithful? Number one, be faithful to the Lord. Number two, be faithful to his wife. And number three, be faithful to his children. This morning, as the world reflects upon Father's Day, so much of the reflection is sentimentality. And sentimentality is good in as much as it helps one another grow closer to each other. But as we think about fathers this morning, let's remember what the Lord has to say about fathers. And let's seek to apply God's teaching to our life in that regard. And fathers, let's make Father's Day not simply a day of sentimentality, but a day of resolve to do what God wants us to do within our lives, to be faithful to Him. Have you been a faithful father? Perhaps you need the prayers of the church to help you to continue to be a faithful father and to do better each and every day. I know that I could use those prayers at every opportunity as a father. It is a great challenge each and every day to be a faithful father. If you would like to ask for those prayers this morning, then the opportunity is given for you to do so. Maybe you are a Christian and you need the prayers of the church to live according to God's standard and God's will and not be thwarted by society, the world, and the various different means that the world has to coerce you into doing its will instead of God's. This is just one area in which the world has done a tremendous job of undermining God's word. For this morning, perhaps you would like to become a child of God through hearing God's word and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Today, you can start living as a faithful child of God. Whether you're destined to be a father or not, the truths that we discussed this morning still hold sway over your life, and that you are bound to love them, to believe them, to practice them as applicable, and to uphold them as one of God's children. And you realize this morning that you would like to be a child of God to do that very thing. Why not make that decision today to live for the Lord and to encourage our fathers to live for Him as well, while together we stand and while we sing.